slightly different, remember? Webster defines contentment as the state or quality of being satisfied, not displeased. So some of you, after you finish that meal on Thursday, were probably quite content. But that's not the word that Paul uses, and that's not the definition. We looked at this. This is from Philippians 4, verse 11. The Greek word there, autarkes, is a split word. It's a compound word. Autos meaning self, and archeo meaning satisfied or sufficient. And so it's the idea of being self-sufficient, not needing assistance from outside. And so in the context of Paul's usage there in Philippians 4:11, he's saying that he had learned to be content, that is, self-satisfied, not needing something from an outside source in all the circumstances he might encounter, whether it would be humble means or prosperity, of being filled, of being hungry, of having abundance or suffering need. In all the circumstances of life, Paul says, I have learned this secret of being content. Self-satisfied. Now, in essence, what Paul is saying here is that he has learned to be in charge of himself instead of being bound by circumstances, of being reacting to whatever's going on all the time. He didn't need changes to occur in his life in order to be fulfilling the very purpose for which he lived. Circumstances didn't have to change. The situation did not have to get better. It could stay as it was, and he could still be content. He had learned the secret of being someone who no longer reacted to his environment, but instead would respond to it with godliness, regardless of the environment. Have you learned that secret yet? Are you able to control yourself, regardless of your circumstances, all the while feeling all the personal emotion that could be involved with it, all the empathy, all the sympathy, all the hurt, all the joy that is just part of life? Can you live life to its fullest? Or as I think it was Swindoll had entitled his commentary on Ecclesiastes, living life on the ragged edge, experiencing it all, and yet still be content, fully in control. Or do the things around you determine what you're going to be like? Now, I also explained in my sermon a couple weeks ago why so many in America, including Christians, are not content. We have this abundance of so much around us, but I think you will find that a lot of people, even on Thursday, they may have had a feast and probably would still be discontent. They find something they don't like, and they'll camp on that. Well, one of the reasons that people are not content, over in Ephesians 2, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, but just by way of brief review, we find that those who are not true Christians cannot be content, because their lives are not bound up with what is going to enable you to be content. He says in Ephesians 2 that non-Christians, those without Christ, are dead in their trespasses and sins, in which they formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is now working the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh, and the mind are by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. That is the state of the non-Christian. That is exactly where they're at. And so they can't have contentment. And for the immature Christian, the same thing's going to be true. It's going to be very difficult to have what Paul is talking about here in Philippians chapter 4. Well, part of that is because, again, just reviewing it, the non-Christian is dead in trespasses and sin. That's their state. That's how we were all born. They're separated from God. Now, they may have feelings, some sort of emotion towards something that they think is God, but most often it's a demon posing as God, or it's a self-produced God of their own imagination, but it's not the true God. And so there's no personal relationship they have with the one who has made them, the one that has created them. And without that, you're not going to be able to be content, as we're going to see here in a few moments. Another aspect of the non-Christian is they cannot obey or please God. That's an impossibility for them because they don't even understand what God wants. These are spiritual things. They're not spiritually discerning for them. They can't do it. They live life according to the course of this world. In other words, they live just seeking whatever the world has to offer, wherever joy for the moment they can get, whatever happiness they can grab. That's what they're after. And so they go from thing to thing, hoping that they're going to find some meaning in that. They're also under the control of Satan, who is described here as the prince of the power of the air. That's a euphemism for Satan. And he is the one who is in control because he's the one who is guiding the spirit of the sons of disobedience. And that's where we all were before we became Christians. That's the state of those who are not Christians. How can you be content if that's what your life is like? You're busy trying to find something, but what is it? Now, as humans, we have this longing, though, to have some purpose in our life. Some meaning, to find some reason why we're here and to make something out of it. And so we have this tendency to indulge the lust for flesh as part of that. Now, let's face it, even as Christians, we still tend to want to cater to our physical bodies, don't we? How many of you did that on Thursday? You don't have to raise your hand. Okay, I did. In fact, Diane made an extra pie, so we took it home and we ate it again. So we had two pieces of pumpkin pie and a piece of apple pie, and you can't get better than that, right? Well, of course, you could add lemon meringue pie and chocolate pie, and, well, I like pie. All right? We have this tendency. We want to cater to something that's satisfying. We like to have our physical surroundings comfortable. How many of you like these chairs better than those old ones, right? All right? It's comfortable. We like to do that. How many think it's a little stuffy in here? Okay. Click on the air so we can get a little something. All right? We cater to that. We all want that. When it's summer, you want the air conditioning on. When it's finally as cool as you want in the summer, you want to turn the heat on. That's the way we are, isn't it? Okay? We do that. Here it describes as indulging the desires of the mind, of the flesh, or a lust of the flesh, but there's also this indulging the desires of the mind. We want to satisfy our mental appetites as well. Whatever will absorb our attention or energy and stimulate us intellectually, we'll do that too. Or if we're tired and we don't want to think, we'll find some way to amuse ourselves. That's just the way we are as humans. But that's not the way God wants us to live. That's not the way to gain the contentment that Paul is talking about. People pursue after fame and reputation, or knowledge and talent or positions and power and all these kinds of things. But apart from Christ, apart from living with Him in your life and actually His life living through you, all those things control you and make you their slave rather than the other way around. And that's how most of the world lives. They're controlled by the things that they should be in control of. Without Jesus Christ, you're spiritually dead. You're controlled by Satan. You are by nature a child of wrath. There's no hope of true contentment. And yet this desire for peace, this desire for happiness, something, some kind of meaning is strong. So there's got to be some way to put things together where you have a semblance of some meaning. And so man has done that, often controlled by Satan. Now, we went over this last week, and again, very briefly, we're going to look at some world views. The real tragedy here is that in looking at these views, so many professing Christians either continue in them or succumb to their influence and live just like the rest of the world, or much like the rest of the world, maybe a few differences. There are those that would say they reject these views and believe the Bible, but in practical terms, you watch their life and they're still living the same way. Well, what are they? Remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about deism, the idea that God is there, but He's not really involved. He's impersonal. He created everything and then abandoned it. Contentment then is sought in trying to figure out something and make it work. It's a futile thing. Ecclesiastes 1 deals with that. But that's the quest, to make some sense out of it. Solomon sought everything and said at the end it was futile to try and find meaning apart from God. Many Christians end up as practical deists. They lose this sense that God is personally involved in their life. He's there somewhere, but you know what? In practical daily life, it doesn't make any difference. Why bother to pray? Why bother to seek to serve Him? Why bother to do these things or even read my Bible? And then God's going to do what He's going to do. It just becomes He's not really involved with me personally. I'm just going on with life. You get into just kind of getting by. You might even descend into fatalism, the accompanying complacency, indifference. If those things mark your life, you may have fallen into deism. God is involved in our lives. Individually, He is personally concerned about each one of us as individuals. But when we slop over and don't take much attention to that personal relationship, we have fallen into a deistic view. Then there's naturalism. Naturalism, there is no God. It's the philosophical basis for evolution. There is only nature. And so life has meaning only in the here and now. That's it. You got it now? Do whatever you can. So contentment is only revolving around circumstances, period. If they're good, hey, it's great. If they're bad, well, we got to change the circumstances. This is the view that's promoted hedonism, materialism, which is rampant in our society. If you live life in the pursuit of pleasure, or if you think life will be satisfying if you can get ahead just a little bit more, then in practical terms, you have fallen into naturalism. Your life's not bound up with God. It's bound up in present circumstances. There's also nihilism. And this is a child of naturalism. It boldly asserts there is no ultimate meaning in life. Life is an absurd.